Well, welcome everybody to Christian Assembly. My name is Alex. Especially want to welcome you if you're a first-time viewer. We're so excited that you're with us today. And the God that we worship is a living God who has a fresh new word by his Spirit today. And I wanted to encourage us from the book of Revelation chapter 3. This is the words of Jesus to his church, to you and I. He says, "Look, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." Would you think about that just for a second? That the God of heaven wants to come in and share a meal with you as his friend. Would you open up your heart and ask the Lord to make your heart soft and your ears open and your eyes open that you might hear and see the wonderful things that he can do for and with you today? Revelation continues, Jesus says, "Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne." So today we celebrate that because of Jesus, through the work of Christ the Son, we've been made more than conquerors together. So we're going to celebrate that as we worship and sing. Would you sing with me? When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Christ, you have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins. Our Lord, our God, our conqueror. Christ is risen and on high. Greater is he living in me than in the world. No surrender, no retreat. We are free and we're redeemed. We will declare over despair, you are the hope. We are more than conquerors. We are more. Sing this, promise nothing, and nothing is impossible, and every chain is breakable. With you, we are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts, you are greater than the dawn. With you, we are victorious. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. With you, we are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. We've been made. Christ, you have rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me is the current of my love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. Oh, the deep. Spread his praise from shore to shore. How he loveth, ever loveth, changeth never, nevermore. So we sing, over me, over me. Watches, oh, his loved ones died to call them all his own. How for them he interceded, watching over them from the throne. Over me. And oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Amen. Well, we celebrate today, and we are participants of a faith that goes to the ages past. The Bible says that our God is the God of ages, that he's the Ancient of Days. In fact, one day, Jesus made a statement. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Today, the faith that you and I embrace in Jesus Christ originates in a story that happened thousands of years ago that continues to this present moment, and by God's grace will continue into the future when God will bring the culmination of his work that he's done in Jesus Christ to completion. And we're going to sing this story of redemption, this song of redemption, as we remember that we are part of a greater story that God has called us to be. So this is a new song. This is called King of Kings. It just tells us the redemption story. And Sarah's going to sing it for us.
In the darkness. In the darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
So we sing like this. Praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three.
The second verse together,
to reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died.
We sing praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty.
Morning
that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel's the truth of old. Shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Praise the Father.
Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. Three in one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings.
Praise the Father.
Forever and ever, praise forever to the King of Kings.
bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship Your holy name.
Sing, bless the Lord, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I'll worship Your holy name.
Oh, but now and forevermore I'm gonna worship.
I'll worship Your holy name.
Well, thank you, Alex and the worship team, for leading us. You guys, would you join me in prayer? God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, God, for the many, many blessings that you have given to us and put in our lives. And God, thanks for the gift of being able to worship together and do church together online. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us. And God, we pray that you would speak to us throughout this service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome everyone. We are so glad you're joining us today. We also want to give a special welcome to any guests or visitors who are with us. We wanted to let you know that we will not be having an outdoor service next Saturday, March 6th. This is due to Village Christian School's elementary musical performances happening outside on their campus that day. So please join us online for our weekend service next week. We will resume our outdoor service at Village Christian School on Saturday, March 13th. Also, we encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. Thank you so much for your ongoing generosity. Now let's continue in our worship as we hear our Kingdom update for this month.
Well, hey, church family, it's Kingdom Weekend, where we take time once a month to highlight what God is doing through our church as we follow Him on mission. And one of our missional values at Christian Assembly is to see people from every tribe, tongue, and language come to know Christ. These are exciting times because we're closer than ever before, and Christians all around the world are linking arms in this global Great Commission. However, there's still a lot of work to be done, as there's still close to 7,000 unreached people groups who are less than 2% Christian. This weekend, we have the honor to hear from our Kingdom partners, Peter and Tammy Russell, who serve with Wild Hope International in Tanzania. They've had such an impact over the long haul, and were able to see the Maasai people go from unreached people group to reached in Tanzania. And as the Russells are doing discipleship and training, they're sending people out to reach more unreached people groups. Let's check out their exciting update together.
Thanks, Scott. Hello, CA. How special to be with you guys, even if it's only by video. We have been in the States on a writing sabbatical for almost a year now. The book Peter's writing, recording God's faithfulness over the last 30 years in East Africa, is slowly coming together.
Wow, what a blindside 2020 was for us, and I'm sure it was for many of you as well. In the spring, things were looking rather bleak. Flights were being canceled. Our base in Tanzania had to close. And to be honest, we weren't sure how our little mission was going to survive. But it hasn't only survived, but thrived, and we just wanted to give you guys an update on how faithful God has been through it all.
First of all, our son and daughter-in-law, Skylar and Justine, miraculously were able to drop everything and fly to Tanzania before lockdown so we could come to the States and write. Not only that, but a small gift from someone of limited means started a landslide of giving that allowed Skylar to be able to amazingly finish the prayer garden at Wild Hope in Arusha. The garden has turned out so beautiful. It's such a blessed place for the students and pastors we're pouring into to be rejuvenated and hear from God for their ministries. And Justine just gave birth to our first granddaughter, Abigail Ruby, in Tanzania.
And now God has blessed us with new teammates. Solomon and Sarah Kippi, some of our first Maasai believers, joined us in January to spearhead our outreach to the unreached. Now they have set up a forward base for Wild Hope 400 miles away in Morogoro. From there, they can probe deep into the coastal and southern regions where there are many needing to experience the gospel for the first time. Our long-term dream of seeing the Maasai go into the unreached peoples is starting to come true.
Our initial probes into two areas that need to be unnamed are going well, but we sure do need your prayers. Travel is currently challenging in Tanzania, but Solomon has been carrying on evangelism and discipleship by telephone. One unbelieving man recently was miraculously healed from a severe illness after Solomon prayed for him over the phone. He was so overjoyed that he gave his life to the Lord and joined a local church. On Solomon and Sarah's behalf, we want to express how grateful they are for the way that CA has launched them into their ministry to reach the unreached of Tanzania with your generous giving.
Now, our second-born son, Chase, is working with Solomon to develop a new small group strategy to take the gospel into the challenging regions of the South. We are attempting to get back to Tanzania ourselves by mid-April, but it looks like Tammy's dad and his wife are needing our help because of recent medical setbacks they've experienced. Also, travel restrictions are changing almost weekly, so please pray that our team would continue to be protected and we would have God's wisdom.
We can't begin to express how thankful we are for UCA, for your support and for your prayers that are creating fruit in Tanzania and beyond. Blessings.
Well, we're so excited for what God's doing through Wild Hope International and the role we get to play as partners. As they just shared, they're now reaching out into southern Tanzania through local leaders from their ministry. At the end of last year, because of our generosity, we were able to give $10,000 towards this effort. So please pray for these two people groups in southern Tanzania to be reached with the gospel, as well as the Russell family. On a local side of things, we're having an outreach event once a month in 2021. On March 27th, we're having a foster care awareness event to learn about the foster care crisis in LA County, as well as how we can respond as believers. We'll learn about opportunities to be involved and a new effort we started called Care Communities, which are CA teams that wrap around and support foster families. You can find more information and register for this event on our website. I want to thank each of you of how we've partnered together in God's mission. One of the ways that we do that is through our Kingdom Offering, which supports all of our missional partnerships and efforts that reach people outside the walls of the church. You can give online or on our CA app and make sure to select the Kingdom Offering tab. Thanks so much for the way we link arms in God's mission together. Now let's continue in worship as we hear from today's message from Matt.
Well, thanks, Scott. And thank you to Peter and Tammy Russell. I love that we get to be part of the work that God is doing through their lives. To my CA family and to anyone who's joining us online, I'm so grateful to have this time with you. We have been in a series called What I Can Do, and I'm going to bookend this series telling you one more thing that God's Word tells us we can do. One of the ultimate can-do statements in the Bible is found in a letter Paul wrote to the Philippians, and it's one of the most popular statements made in the Bible. In fact, these words that Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, if you've been in church for a long time, you know these words. And if you've not been in church, if you aren't churched and you're just kind of tuning in and you're new to all of this, chances are you might have already heard these words as well. They're some of the most popular words in the Bible from Philippians 4:13, where Paul says, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. You can find this Bible verse on keychains, bumper stickers, journal covers, coffee cups, t-shirts, not to mention these words can be found on Evander Holyfield's boxing shorts, Tim Tebow's cheekbones, and Stephen Curry's shoes. These are inspiring words. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. What would Paul think if he knew where those words have shown up? What about when you're faced, though, with what you cannot do? Because the truth about the man who wrote those famous words is that he knew very well what it was like to be all out of options, to be restricted, to be limited, and faced with what he could not do. I want to tell you about Paul and what's going on in his life when he wrote those famous words. Paul was a remarkable person in the Bible. He's a 110% kind of a guy. Paul knows his purpose in life, and he is committed to it. Paul was a go-getter. He's what my kids would call sweaty. So when Paul encounters Jesus, his life gets radically set on a course and a purpose, and he becomes the most sold out, devoted, Jesus preaching believer of his generation. Once Paul is convinced that the whole world must know what Jesus offers, he becomes like the champion of missionaries. Paul's plan is to reach the pinnacle of communication in the Roman Empire. He wants to reach the center stage of the world's attention and make it known that nothing matters more than Jesus. He will stop at nothing to make Jesus known to as many people in as many places as possible. But all of that comes to a screeching halt in Paul's life when the Roman authorities don't like what Paul is preaching, and so they lock him up. This mover and shaker has his ankles and his wrists shackled with chains that are attached to a prison guard 24/7. That's where Paul is when he says, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Paul finds himself faced with a lot that he cannot do. Paul cannot go anywhere. He cannot preach in the synagogues or in house churches or public arenas. And on top of that, Paul hears that there are people on the outside, he's on the inside in jail, and he hears people on the outside have begun to twist the message of the gospel into a message that has nothing to do with the truth about Jesus. And Paul hears about people on the outside who are slandering him and slandering Jesus and slandering all those who believe what Paul has preached. There are even people talking about it in Caesar's inner circle, and Paul cannot stop any of that from happening. Paul cannot go out and defend himself or defend the message of Jesus. Add to this that while Paul's sitting in the slammer, local churches that he had helped start all throughout the Roman Empire are writing to Paul asking for his help. Help to navigate leadership decisions. Help to navigate conflicts in their church. Help to navigate persecution that is coming on them. Paul receives letters asking him to come and to visit and to help out in these churches, but Paul cannot go anywhere. He has to write them and tell them that he's in jail and he cannot come. Can you imagine if you called Christian Assembly and asked to talk to Tom or to Mark, and Peggy had to tell you, actually, Tom got arrested, he's in jail, he cannot come and help you. This is Paul's reality when he writes these famous words, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." When the truth is that Paul cannot so much as change his underwear without getting permission from his prison guard. Paul the imprisoned, Paul the shackled, Paul, the contained and restricted. Paul is a man surrounded by what he cannot do. But he begins to recognize that he is at the very same time surrounded by the power of God. And when he is stifled and shut down, he finds that the power of God is not limited by what limits us. The power of God will never be shackled or shut down. When we are faced with what we cannot do, the power of God produces what we cannot produce. And so I want to ask you to look deeply at this man with me. And to look deeply at what Paul can teach us. I want us to learn from what he says about what we can do when we are surrounded by what we cannot do. Paul's story convinces me that when we are faced with what we cannot do, and when we have done all that God says we can do, you and I can trust God with the rest. When we have done all that we can, you and I can trust God with the rest. I'm talking about those moments and circumstances in life when we are out of options, when we are out of words to speak, out of new ideas to try, when no action, no ability is working, it's out of my reach, it's out of my hands. I'm talking about when life gets small and when we feel powerless against our circumstances. The Bible tells us that what looks like a dead-end road is actually an intersection of hope, where God's power intersects our limitations. And it's at that intersection of our limits and God's power, when we have done all we can, that you and I can trust God with the rest. And that's what I want to tell you today. I want to tell you three reasons that you can trust God with the rest. Here's the first reason. God is able to accomplish what you and I cannot reach. God is able to accomplish what is out of our reach. There's so much that Paul cannot do. And as a result, Paul talks in this letter to the Philippians, talks about humility and inadequacy more than in any of his other letters. He knows all he can do is to be honest with the Philippians about where he is and the limitations he's facing. But he doesn't complain about it. He doesn't whine about it. He doesn't make excuses for it. Paul actually talks about his limitations like they are reasons to celebrate. He talks about him in Philippians 1 verse 12. Look at what he says. I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. He's saying, my limitations have resulted in the gospel reaching further than ever before. It's almost as though Paul's saying to the Philippians, I've reached the end of my rope, and guys, it's amazing. I can see all that God is doing because there's nothing else I can do. It looks like he's reached a dead end, but he has found that it is actually an intersection of hope. Where we reach our limits, that is where we find God powerfully at work, doing what he couldn't do, doing what you and I can't do, even if we tried. Paul says, from where I sit, chained up, locked up, I know it looks like game over, but I'm more convinced than ever that God is not done with me. And he is not done with any of us. I am beginning to see the power of God at work in ways I didn't know I could see. He says in Philippians 1:6, I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. With so much that Paul cannot do, he can see clearly that his limits will never limit what God can do. Have you reached your limit? Have you gotten to the end of your rope? Here's the good news for all of us. The more convinced you are that there's nothing more you can do, the closer you are to seeing more of what God can do. If you've reached your limit, Jesus can turn your dead end into an intersection of hope where your limits meet God's power. When you've done all you can trust God with the rest, because God can accomplish what is out of your reach. First reason that you can trust God with the rest. Here's the second reason we can trust God with the rest. What God wants to produce in us is more important than anything else that is happening around us. What God wants to produce in you and me is more important than anything else that is happening around us. If I were in Paul's situation, if you were in Paul's situation, I think we'd be saying some different stuff in our letters. I'd be saying, can you believe they put me in jail? All I was doing was preaching Jesus, and this is wrong. I've got to get out of here. I'd be writing letters to you saying, you all need to rally the churches to this cause, and you got to write your letters to the senators and tell them to get me out of jail. We need to do what we can. This cannot go on. I'd be complaining. I'd be telling you, get me out of here. What is this world coming to? Paul doesn't call their attention to any of that. Instead, Paul points to what God wants to keep producing in us rather than what is happening around us. Paul says, keep your focus on what kind of people you're becoming. When you're faced with circumstances that are out of your control, pay attention to what God wants to produce in you. Look at verses 10 and 11, where he says, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. He says, what really matters is what God is producing in you and me. I can so easily be aware of what circumstances can produce in me. Because when I'm faced with circumstances out of my control, I know how easy it is for impatience to get produced in me. Anger can get produced in me. Anxiety can get produced in me. When a pandemic interrupts my life, frustration can get produced in me. When those in authority issue orders I don't like and I don't want, irritability can get produced in me. When you're faced with what you cannot do, what gets produced in you? Paul says, no, don't Pay attention to any of that. Don't give into that. Don't let that rule your day or it'll ruin your day. No, I know it seems like that's what really matters right now. But if you know anything about the power of God, then look again. Paul says what really matters is that God can, and if you trust him, he will produce something different in you. He will produce the fruit of your salvation. He will produce the results of the power of his Spirit. He will produce righteous character in you and me. What God wants to produce in you is more important than anything happening around you. What has your attention these days? What is claiming your attention these days? What matters most to you? Are you letting circumstances around you dictate what matters most? Or will you trust that what God can produce in you matters more than anything happening around you? When you are at the intersection of your limitations and God's power, trust God with the rest and keep your focus on what God wants to produce in you. That's the second reason we can trust him with the rest. And here's the third reason that you and I can trust God with all the rest. It is that God has more people involved in whatever you're going through than you realize. I love this. Let me say this again. You got to hear this. God has more people involved in whatever you're going through than you realize. You got to think about this with me. I thank God for how many times God has reminded me of this truth. You and I don't stand alone on the intersection of your limitations and God's power. God is not only at work in you. He is not only at work in me. He is powerfully at work through others as well. Paul is stuck in prison, but listen to what he says. He says, as a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Listen, he's talking about all the people around him, not himself. He says, it's true, some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely intending to make my chains more painful. But that doesn't matter, Paul says. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, and so I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. Paul says, I wanted to come to Rome, and I wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, and instead I'm sitting in jail, but God has more people involved in this thing than I realized. More people are preaching the gospel than ever before, and I don't even know who they are. I had a reminder of this past Tuesday night. I was driving home from picking up some food to go for dinner for Lindsay and the kids and I. It was around 7 or 7:30 at night. And I got to the exit near my house and I exited the freeway, well, started to exit the freeway, but I noticed that this exit was backed up all the way onto the freeway. Don't you love it when that happens? And the strange thing is, it's like 7:30 at night. By that time, this ramp is never backed up or congested. It also has two lanes. So this is an easy exit ramp. But it's one of those kind of ramps that go up like this off the freeway. And so I get into the line and I'm waiting to get off the freeway and I'm inching my way up that ramp and I'm thinking, what is going on at the top of this ramp? And as I get closer, I finally realize that there's a car that has stalled right where that ramp reaches the intersection. And it is stalled like in the middle of the two lanes. And so all these cars are having to pull up and stop and go around this car. And that's what's taking all this time. That's what's backing up the traffic. Well, I like an adventure, so I decide I'm going to pull over and I'm going to offer to help. I'm going to see if I can help this guy. So I get out of my car, I pull over and I get out of my car, and just about the time I get out of my car, another stranger, some other guy, comes out of nowhere and runs up and starts pushing behind this car. The driver's in the driver's seat to steer. And so I get behind the car and I start pushing with him. And we're pushing uphill, and man, I'm giving it all I've got, and so is he, and we're not getting very far. But guess what? All of a sudden, some other guy out of nowhere runs up and says, let's do this. And he starts pushing with us. And right about that time, another guy shows up out of nowhere, and he starts pushing with us. We are all pushing behind this car, and we start getting it up this ramp to turn this corner. And then this young woman comes out of nowhere, and she comes to the driver and says, get out of the driver's seat. Let me steer, and you help him push. The driver was the biggest guy of all of us. So he gets out of the car and he's pushing. Meanwhile, two more people show up. A total of seven people stopped and got out of their cars to help push this guy's car out of the way. None of us knew each other. None of us planned to meet up at that intersection on a Tuesday night. God has more people involved in whatever you're going through than you realize. You might be stuck in a situation and you don't even know who's on their way to make possible what you cannot do. When it is so obvious what you cannot do, God is already at work in the lives of others to accomplish more than you could ever do on your own. You don't even know them yet. You may never know them, but when you've done all you can trust God with the rest, because God has more people involved in what you're going through than you realize. In my family, we use a quote from Charlotte's Web to remind one another of our limitations. And if you know the story of Charlotte's Web, there's a pig named Wilbur who becomes a famous pig, but he doesn't become famous all on his own. It's nothing that Wilbur can do. It's because a spider named Charlotte, who lives in Wilbur's barnyard, she spins webs, you remember this, with messages in them that say things like, some pig and spectacular pig. And at one point, Wilbur wants to He wants to spin his own web and put his own message up in the doorway of the barn. And Charlotte has to remind Wilbur of what's obvious to everyone else. Pigs can't spin spider webs. She says to Wilbur, and this is the quote we use in our family when we talk about our limitations. Charlotte says to Wilbur, you lack a set of spinnerets, and you lack know-how. Sometimes I'll get the idea in my head that I can fix something around our house that needs fixing. And Lindsay will often come outside or find me wherever I am, and she will say, Matt, you lack a set of spinnerets, and you lack know-how. Please call someone. My limitations do not only become evident in home repair. No, I find in me limits of all kinds. And with God's help, I have been shown even more limits than I could find on my own. I've run into limited patience, limited mercy, limited self-control, limited kindness, limited courage. Paul's letter from prison is such an encouragement to me to tell us all about how limited he was. And his limitations have convinced him of what is possible only by the power of God. In light of all that God has given Paul power to do, Paul almost revels in his limitations. It's almost like he's begun to celebrate his weaknesses because they've become show places for the power of God. You and I are going to face moments that leave us grasping for answers, grasping for what we cannot do. We're going to live through situations that are out of our control. We've been given so much that we can do by the power of God. And that's what we've been talking about. We can live by faith. We can love one another. We can do our part in God's mission. We can change because God makes us new. We can give to show the glory of God. We can help to build community. We can encourage one another. There's so much we can do by God's power at work in and through us. And when we have done all we can do, you and I can trust God with the rest. Aren't you grateful for the power of God? Aren't you grateful that God is not limited by what limits you? Aren't you grateful that he sees somebody like me and like you stuck in some things, and he comes with his power, he intersects those limitations, and he turns a dead end into an intersection of hope? Aren't you grateful for God's power? In fact, why don't you just thank God right now where you are? Why don't you just start telling God how thankful you are? Just tell him, God, thank you. Thank you for your power. Join me as we pray before we worship one last time. I just want you to join me to say, thank you, Lord. And if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior and as the Lord of your life, make that decision right now to say, Lord, I accept you. Jesus, be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. And when you do that, I promise you, he begins to open an intersection of hope. He begins, his power begins to be at work in you. Oh God, would you do that with us? Would you take a bunch of people like us, Lord, and do what only you can do with us? Lord, when we are faced with what we cannot do, help us first, Lord, to put into action all that you say we can do. But then, God, when we're faced with what we cannot do, help us to trust you with the rest, Lord. Give us a bold faith and a courage to trust you with the rest, because your power is never limited by our limitations, Lord. Because you see a bigger picture. You've got some people involved in our situations that we don't even know. And we are so grateful that we can put our faith in you, that we can rest in you, and we can trust in you. God, would you make of us people of that kind of faith, I pray, in Jesus' name. And we say together, amen. Let's worship.
There's a peace far beyond all understanding. May it ever set my heart at ease. after anxiety come, I'll remember that peace is a promise you keep. Peace is a promise you keep. I sing, I found peace. I found peace far beyond all understanding. Let it flow when my mind's under siege. All anxiety bows in the presence of Jesus, the keeper of peace. Peace is the promise you keep.
All anxiety.
All anxiety bows in the presence of Jesus, the keeper of peace. And peace is the promise he keeps.
Thank you so much for being with us online today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ at any point during our service, or if you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, please let us know so we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. Let me close with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. See you next week.